Well, good morning, church. Cool beans, man. Hey, we are in the middle of a fantastic message, and that's a great song. Actually, while I was worshiping that song, here's what came to me, and I don't know what you were thinking about, because maybe some of you were thinking, isn't that kind of an end time song? Because that's what we sang during our end time message when we were talking about it, but actually it's not. Think about that. Think about, for over 2,000 years, men and women were waiting for the promised Messiah, much like we are today. Right? So what a powerful song, man, that Christ, for us, is returning for his bride, for his church. And that's who we are. And that's I love that song, man. It's a good song. Good choice there, Mr. Corey. I'm going to try to get this thing open if it'll stop twisting on me. As I said earlier this morning, is that we are in the middle of a great message series, and we're taking a look at Christmas in a kind of a completely different light. We're looking at Christmas almost kind of backwards. But this message, I got to say, today's message challenged me a little bit, because there's so many directions that I can go as I begin to pray about and look at Christmas from the light that we're going to talk about. We're talking about unwrapped. We want to unwrap Christmas this year. And one of the cool things about it is, and one of the illustrations I used last week when we kicked it off was, have you ever been that kid? Were you ever that kid that when you walked downstairs and all of these beautiful presents were under the tree and you dug in there and you started unwrapping yours and you had, I don't know if y'all had like the designated Santa who kind of walked around and gave each person the gift so there was no fights and, you know, amongst the kids. I grew up with six brothers and one sister, and so it was an interesting time during Christmas at our house. But there always seems to be that one gift that's kind of stuck way back behind the tree that gets forgotten until like the end, and somebody goes, and one of the little boys or the little girls will say, Mommy or Daddy, why didn't you get me this doll? Or why didn't you get me this action figure? Why didn't you get me this Tonka toy or whatever it was, right? And then Dad and Mom kind of snap and go, oh, snap, we have that. And it was stuck behind the tree and you didn't get it, right? Well, that's kind of what we're talking about today. We get to be that person, or the kids, if I could say that, that get to unwrap an amazing gift that we receive through Jesus Christ. It's an amazing gift. And I cannot wait to tell you on Wednesday how that message, the message that we're going to talk about on Wednesday, how it transpired. I hope I can do it without interruption, but it's going to be an amazing, amazing time. And so today I want to take us one step closer to unwrapping that gift. I want to take us one step closer into looking at Christmas from a different light. One of the cool things about Christmas that I love is that when you go to the malls, one of the things that I did, I got to go to Walmart, yay, praise Jesus, during Christmas time. And it's kind of funny because there's three of us guys walking out of Walmart at the exact same time, and all of us had the same thought. What the am I doing here? It's pretty much what was running through our head. What in the world am I doing here? And it was like all of us, which was funny too, was we walked out of Walmart, and we're all over here. We're all looking for our cars kind of down the same aisle, and every one of us was in the wrong aisle. We all ended up having to go clear over here like four or five parking lots over finding our cars. And it was funny because we all thought we were alone. I'm like, man, I can't find my car. The other two guys start laughing because they were doing the same thing. They had lost their car too. And so here it is, Christmas. But the interesting thing about Christmas, one of the things that I really got kind of pumped up in me, is that as I'm walking around Walmart or the mall or wherever it is that you're walking around, just drive around somewhere in Dallas and see all the lights on the houses and the businesses and all this stuff, there's a sense of joy that's in the air today. There's a sense of expectation that's in the air when it comes to Christmas. It's an amazing feeling that happens, but I almost think, you know what, I wish we could just do this year round. I mean, this should be who we are all year round. Matter of fact, as we're looking at the story of Christmas, one of the things that I find interesting is that we call it, what do we call that with the baby in the manger and the little lamb and the sheep and the three wise guys bound down there? Yes, I said wise guys. And they're all down there. What do we call that scene? We call it what? The nativity. Does anybody here know what nativity means? Interesting, because it goes right along with our message, which is really cool. The word nativity actually means place of birth. That's what it means. Nativity actually means place of birth. So each and every person in here has had a nativity. Your nativity scene might have been grandma and grandpa gathered around when you were born, or dad passed out because he can't stand blood. I mean, I don't know if any were. I almost did with Jake. I almost did. I got queasy. You know, I got a little lightheaded when Jake came out because he was purple and several other colors I couldn't recognize, you know, when he first came out. And so we all of us had a nativity. But there's a particular reason why we celebrate this nativity, this birth of this baby at this time. Now, we know that we're not sure that Christ was born on this date. We don't know that for sure. And I know all the different things about how it's joined to another holiday and all that stuff. I get that. But in America, though, we celebrate the birth of Christ on this particular day, the nativity. But not only the nativity, the life coming into this world to transform every other life. We celebrate Jesus. How awesome is that? That for one time, maybe actually twice, two times out of the year, but one time out of the year, the entire world, whether they believe in him or not, they're celebrating him. They're thinking about it. There's that little buzz that's going around. Forget happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. So there's a joy in this time in the entire world. Can you imagine the entire world is going to be gathered to celebrate this particular holiday, a nativity of a baby, but not only any ordinary baby. We know it was Jesus, right? I mean, what powerful. That's not even in the message. I just thought I'd talk about that. But there is a gift that each of us carries around. There is a gift that each one of us are carrying around in us. Not only is there a gift that we're all carrying around, but there is a gift that we've been given. Actually, I would almost say there's two gifts, but this particular gift today, there is the gift of life that was been given to you, and I'm not talking about your natural life. I'm talking about your spiritual life, and if you haven't received that, I hope by the end of the gathering that you will, but you carry around this life force in you that is so powerful that God has trusted you with it so much that he says, now take the life that you have and go share it with someone else. See, God has a lot to talk about when it comes to this gift, this life. He actually has a lot to talk about gifts in general. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world. This is a gift. But the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. God has given us a gift. God has bestowed upon you and me an amazing gift that we get to celebrate. Matthew 2 and 11 says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. This is the three wise men. This is the story of the three wise men. And notice something. I know, and I don't want to ruin Christmas for you, okay? But the three wise guys didn't show up at the birth of Jesus. Couldn't have. It's impossible, okay? It's impossible. He was actually an older child. He's actually, many theologians believe he's about 2 years old when the wise guys came on the scene. But what did they bring? They brought gifts. And each one of those gifts are specific, and we're not going to talk about that today, but that's a great Bible study. But it says, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. And isn't it amazing that these are probably the only gifts that Jesus has ever received in his life, and now he lavishes upon us gifts in our life. Even today, an amazing gift. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking of, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Jesus continues to do that today. And he continues to put this request in your ear. If you only knew the gift that God has for you. If you only knew what Jesus wants to do in each and every one of your lives. The amazing gift. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you are still searching for it. But there's an amazing gift that God has that he wants us to be filled up with. This life that God wants us to have. Jesus is an amazing gift, yet it is what he offers that is the true gift. Yet to understand this gift, which we will completely unwrap on Wednesday, we must see that Christmas is more than just a baby in a manger. It is God bringing himself down to us through Jesus. This is a powerful, powerful experience. We look at Jesus and baby in the manger, we're like, oh, that's so cool. The wise men, the sheep, the lamb, the cows. I've even seen cows at the manger scene before. I don't know where that come from, but it could happen, I guess. All right, camels, whatever. But there's an amazing gift. God comes down in the form of a human being. Look here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the sole expression, talking about Jesus, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outrain or the radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. This is talking about this little baby that's in this little manger and who he is and the amazing gift that God brought to us through Jesus Christ. Now, the most important person in the history of the world snuck into this little town late one night. And he definitely did not stay. We know by the story that he did not stay in a 5-star hotel. God shows up in the form of this baby into this little town, staying in a manger. And really, Jesus was smuggled into Bethlehem, by the way, if you didn't know that. I mean, that was a kind of a deal. Through the womb of a teenage girl, he gave birth in a barn. That's different. That's a different scenario than any one of us in this room would paint of a Savior to come into the world. Matter of fact, that song we sang where, you know, like a bride, it's a great song, right? But in the end, in the grand scheme of things, thinking about the time of Israel before baby Jesus came on the scene in the manger and what we know as Christmas, they didn't know what the prophecy would look like. They actually thought, they even questioned, the disciples even questioned Jesus when he was talking about his death and got mad because they thought he was going to bring a physical kingdom into this world that would wipe out the Romans and all this stuff and set up government here on this earth. And Jesus said, man, you got it all wrong. And so for thousands of years, they're waiting on the Messiah, but their image and sometimes even our image of this gift that God gives to us is completely off balance. It's completely wrong. But there's still a gift. See, we all know the story of Christmas. The baby, the barn, the shepherds, the magi. Hidden inside that familiar story is the surprising revelation that God's way is to ignore the big shots. Jesus didn't come as a king on the earth. He came as king of the world, king of the universe. He didn't look. Matter of fact, the Bible says that his appearance didn't look like someone that would be the king. It was almost like King David. When King David, that's kind of an illustration of God, of Jesus coming. If you look at King David, y'all know the story, maybe you don't. In the story of King David, the prophet Samuel was commanded by God to go to this house, and at this house, he would find the next king of Israel. So he gets in there, and he tells Dad, hey, Dad, line up your boys, because one of your boys is fixing to be king. And so, man, he put, of course, his oldest there was the good-looking guy, and he was tall, and he was burly. And he was, you know, look, he was the guy. So the prophet Samuel gets ready to anoint him as king because he's the eldest. He looks like a king. And God stops and says, wait, don't look at the outer appearance of him. The actual king, he went all the way down the line of his brothers. The actual king was out in the field tending to sheep, which is like the bottom. It would be like for us today in our generation, our mindset to kind of bring a comparison to would be like a trash collector. That was his job. But say when Jesus comes on the scene, the same thing happens. We think he should look like this But God says, no, 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 no. God chooses the nobodies to bring Jesus on the scene. I mean, think about Mary for a moment. She was a teenage girl from a small town. She was nobody big in the Bible. You don't see Mary mentioned anywhere until the birth of the king. See, in that day and time, women weren't even counted. They weren't even important. So Mary wasn't even on the count chart. She might have been there, you know, during all of these other events that took place way before the birth of Christ, but you'll never know because she didn't get counted because she was a woman in that time frame. She was nobody big. It was Mary. Mary was God's choice. She conceived the baby Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. God considered her somebody important and gave her one of the probably most important assignments of the time. Because now here she is pregnant with this child in a time frame that she wasn't even married. That could have got her killed. Should have got her killed by tradition. How about Joseph? Joseph was a young man just kind of getting started in his life from also a small town. He was a working man, we know that. And he was faced with one of the most difficult choices a man could make, and that is trusting God and protecting his small town reputation. But reputations belong to important people. And most of the important people were in Jerusalem. Joseph said yes to shame, yes to love, and yes to God. So God chose Joseph to act as a foster father to the Savior of the world. Another nobody. Let's look at the shepherds. We already discussed the shepherd's role and kind of what that looked like in society. But who does God make the announcement to? Kings, queens, the rich, the well-to-do? No. He goes out into the field and he finds these shepherds tending. They're basically second shift schmucks who work outdoors. Back in that day, watching sheep was not exactly the rock star kind of gig. Yet they were the first guests invited to the celebration of the birth of Christ. The first guests. Then you got the Magi. Those are the wise men, the wise guys. They were nothing more than pagan astrologers. Isn't it amazing that Jesus or God compels them, these pagan astrologers, to get to be a part of this amazing celebration of a Savior being born, a king coming into the world? They were foreigners. Foreigners had the wrong religion anyway. They were worshiping different gods. They had the wrong clothes. They had the wrong sacred books. Yet the Father invited these rich pagan astrologers, strangers to Israel, invite them to celebrate the birth of the king. Then you got a couple other people, Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were kind of an odd couple and an older couple. They were engaged in harmless religious activities. They were the kind of people who society ignores unless they're driving too slowly on the highway. They're the kind of people that you're honking at and beeping at and trying to get around. This childless couple found themselves unexpectedly drafted to care for and raise the greatest prophet of the Old Testament tradition and the forerunner to the Messiah, which was who? John the Baptist, who announced the coming of our Savior. Anna and Simon, alone and elderly, they were two people almost completely invisible in Jerusalem. Invisible to everyone except the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God had been whispering to them for decades. No one knew who they were. But God made a promise to them that they would see the Messiah. So for decades, they would witness the most important event in the human history. Even after they held the baby Jesus that day in the temple, the world would have considered them people at the margins of society. Simon and Anna were in on God's secret plan decades before the rest of the world knew what was going on. It's amazing the people that are in the story that we tend to celebrate every year. The secret message to the Christmas story is found in your notes. It's your first note, matter of fact, in there. Is God invites the nobodies. God invites the nobodies. And when God invites you to a table, he provides you with everything that you need. The powerful people, the beautiful people, the cool kids might not make it to that celebration. They're welcome, but they might be too busy building their own kingdoms. Meanwhile, God's kingdom is filling up with people no one notices. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24 through 29, look at what it says. It says, but those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, the word call means being a getting to invite, inviting into this relationship, this life with Jesus. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is because the foolish thing that has its source in God is wiser than man. And the weak thing that springs from God is stronger than man. For simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards. Not many influential and powerful. Not many of high and noble birth. No, for God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. And God also selected, deliberately chose what in the world is low-born and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might dispose and bring to nothing the things that are, so that no mortal man should have pretense for glorying and boast in the presence of God. Amazing that God chooses the nobodies. God chooses the low folks. God chooses the people that we think are worthless. God says, I choose you. I pick you. I'm reminded, you know, being in school. As you guys, if you haven't noticed, let me tell you, I'm short in stature. I know up here I look a lot taller. I was one of those guys in school because I was the short. I was called Mikey. You cannot call me Mikey. But I was, every time I think of that word Mikey, I think of the commercial. Y'all remember, was it the Wheaties commercial or Life cereal? Yuck. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything. Well, I looked a lot like Mikey about that height, and I stopped growing for a season in my life. I was the guy that was on the fence, waiting for everybody to pick me, but Mikey's legs were too short. A lot of times when Mikey ran, he fell flat on his face a lot, you know, playing kickball and soccer and stuff like that. So, but the amazing thing about this is that God would choose me. God would choose you. Regardless of your past, no. Regardless of your current life that you're living, God says, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. Isn't that amazing that God chose us, people like us, to bring the Savior into the world, and it hasn't changed since the nativity scene. He still uses us to bring the Savior into the world. That's a good place to say amen. Thank you. What an amazing way to view Christmas this year. In the midst of all the business, our Father wants us to know he can use you. We believe that the greatest gift from our Father was Jesus. And I would say that you're right. Because of Jesus, we get to experience the life that God has created us to live. No matter who you are, there is an opportunity for you to experience the epic life. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, where you've been, God says, I can use you and want to use you. Look here in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, I am the door. If anyone, say anyone, enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I know we tend to use that scripture, and we've kind of almost abused that scripture because we think that that scripture really refers to, I know some churches have used it to abuse the financial standings. We've heard that, right? I mean, some of you guys have been there. We use it to talk about finance. Well, God wants you to live the abundant life, and that might be true for some. But I would contend to say this, that God wants that abundant life to flow completely out of our hearts and out of our lives. That we are to fill our life up with Christ so much that as we walk around Christmas, not just the joy, but the life that we get to live and experience in Jesus Christ, this Christmas would mean something to someone else. More than just putting up the tree, more than just putting up lights, more than just the parties and the celebrations, that it would mean something entirely different. That you have the life living inside you. That God says, man, I want you to overflow and give that life to other people. God still uses nobodies to bring his son into the world. As you celebrate Christmas this year, what is it? If I could ask you this question, if you had an unlimited financial resource, time was not an issue, there was no hindrance in your life, what one thing would you want to do or get from Christmas? Let me ask you a question this way. How many of y'all love to receive gifts on Christmas? How many want to give gifts on Christmas? Praise God, I'm at the right church. Praise God, that's awesome. So how then does the Spirit-filled believer celebrate Christmas? How should we view Christmas? Well, Galatians 5, 16 and 18, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. Now, why did I throw that scripture in there? Because here's what I mean by being so filled up with Jesus and searching after him with more passion and more conviction this year in Christmas than any time before. When you do that, this is not a works issue. This is a spiritual issue. That when we're so filled up with the presence of our Father, so filled up with his Spirit, understanding what Christmas is really all about. This is the life that people should see in our lives. This is the life we give to other people, that we're not walking according to the flesh and all this junk, but we're walking according to his Spirit that dwells in our life. That's how Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, should celebrate Christmas. People should see Christ in us, in our hearts, in the way we live, not just on Christmas Day, but throughout the entire year. Our lives should witness this birth and be tools and instruments used to bring in God's glory, God's Son, into this world. See, by pointing others to Christ himself is the life we get to live. We live our life free from the worry of guilt and shame. We live our life committed to the one who gave his life for us. Why does guilt and shame seem to be magnified during the holiday season? Have you ever noticed that? Suicide rate is on a high, and I know that's a touchy subject for some of you people. I know you've experienced personally, but on Christmas, it's even higher than the national average. Shame, guilt, loneliness. Why? Have you ever wondered why all these families are experiencing joy and there's lots of things going on? Not everybody knows Jesus, but you have the gift. You've been given an ability in your life to share that with someone, to change and transform someone else's life. That's the greatest gift that a Christian can give to another. It's not about money in the bank or how many presents you have under your tree. It's the gift that God has given you, the gift of life that you hold in your hand, that simply maybe inviting someone over for your Christmas dinner that you don't even know. Whoa, that's radical. I believe Spirit-filled believers should be radical. We should do things completely out of the ordinary, things so wild that would blow people's mind. Why would you do this? because this Christmas is going to be different. I want you to see the power that's in my life that transformed me. My life is different because of the life that was born on this day that we celebrate. It's not that our Father wants us not to enjoy this life. It's that He does not want us to enjoy this life apart from Him. See, I think we can celebrate Christmas. I don't think there's anything. I know there's different beliefs out there. Some people do, some people don't. I get that. But I think if it points people to our Savior, isn't that what we're all trying to do anyways? So set your stuff aside for a moment and begin to live this life, this holiday season. God's not trying to make you, like, God's not the home killer, okay? He's not the, I'm going to get you type guy. That's not who God is. What God wants you to experience life with Him. Otherwise, it just becomes a national, it just becomes a holiday. Then it is paganism. If we're just doing it for the gifts, if we're doing it for the tree, if we're doing it for the light, even if we're doing it just to get our family together, it's not the reason why we do it. We celebrate it because of the life that God has and has given to us. John 14:3 says this. Jesus talks about He's preparing a place for us. And we got to talk to people about this. It says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The joy that we get to experience in our life is because of this passage right here. This world is not our home. It's not our home. We're here for a moment, a season in time. Use it wisely to help people come to know Jesus Christ. Our second point this morning, as I get ready to wrap this up, is be filled with Jesus means being empty of ourselves. It's hard to really celebrate Christmas, in my opinion. Now, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like it's really difficult to celebrate Christmas when it's about us. Something happens during the one time a year. Something happens. Isn't it interesting that people who are like mean and just like Scrooges type people, they become nice on Christmas. For just a moment, they're nice for a second. Doesn't last long for some people, right? I mean, there are those people that just on this season, they become nice for a reason. But the Christmas celebration that we get to celebrate is year round. Because our lives have been transformed. That's a gift that truly keeps on giving. But the reason for it is because we empty ourselves for a moment, we empty ourselves of ourselves, and we say, how can I help? How can I help someone else? How can I be a blessing to someone? We finished a message series, a couple months ago, called The Blessed Life. And we talked about being a blessing and to bless a life. I see like Corey's still wearing the bracelet. Some of y'all are still wearing those bracelets around, which is awesome. That should be a year-round celebration. Christmas is a year-round celebration. We get to celebrate the birth of a Savior. Not only that, we celebrate the transformation that has happened in many of our lives. Some of you have been radically transformed because Jesus Christ came into your life. Some of you are working out and becoming the man or woman that God's called you to be. I understand it. Sometimes it's a radical transition, and sometimes it's a process of working stuff out of our lives. Some of you are becoming transparent, and you're beginning to work out the garbage and the stuff that you've dealt with for years and years and years and years. But there's a new life in you, and you look at things completely anew, completely fresh. Christmas is about unwrapping the amazing gift God has given to the world. Each of us here who know Christ has that gift. The one thing that costs you nothing that you are told to give away. It should not just be for a season, but it should be every day of our life. When we choose to let go of our life, we choose to see the life we are living as one that points others to a Savior. Life begins to become less messy. See, isn't it easier when you have a mindset? Some of y'all are going to relate to this. When you have the mindset that it's not mine, or I really don't care what happens, I'm going to help this people, and I'm not. You don't worry about embarrassment. You don't worry about nothing, do you? You just go do it. Life becomes less messy less drama because you don't want to put yourself among that drama because you don't care about that drama. You're worried about helping these folks. You're worried about sharing your story. You're worried about helping people come to know Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a family member in your life. Maybe it's someone in your neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody at work. The only thing that God has been speaking to you about this person, so you're pouring out everything, and then everything around you just becomes dim because your focus is not inward on more. Your focus is no longer inward. Your focus now is about Jesus, and you just want them to know him. And so you're filled up with him, and your purpose and your mindset and your laser-like focus is about Jesus. Isn't that what we do on Christmas? Our focus changes, and it's no longer about us, but it's about our family and little Johnny, little Susie. I want to make sure they got the right gift. Our focus changes. It's an everyday deal. Mark 8:35 says this, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. Listen to me, church. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. This year, unwrap the possibility that God wants to use you. Unwrap the possibility that maybe it's time for you to let go of some garbage and fill that up with Christ. Maybe for some of you, you need to look at the nativity scene from a different perspective. It's time to unwrap the true meaning of what Christmas is about. Trusting our lives to Christ means we empty our life and we make a trade. See, last week I said a trade happened. Christmas is the day we get to celebrate that trade. Jesus' perfect life for our sinful one. So next time you see that place of the birth of Christ, remember this in John 21:31. But these are written, recorded in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through believing and cleaving to him and trusting and relying upon him, you will have life through or in his name, through who he is. Spending time in God's word helps you remind yourself of that. I want to challenge you, church. Get into God's word, man. The reason we struggle and Christmas time is here, you realize that probably on Christmas Day is probably, some people hear more of the gospel message on Christmas than they do any time of the year. It's in the songs that they sing. It's in the commercials they see. It's in the advertisements. It's in all of this stuff. We see the word of God flowing through everywhere. Why do you think there's so much joy? I'm going to challenge you to get into God's word. God uses nobodies. He doesn't want us to remain nobodies. When we choose to take it, his word, and place it in our lives, it causes us to live the life and celebrate the life that he has for us. I don't have time to do, we're not going to go through these, but in your worship guide, there's several scriptures, Psalms 36 and 9, Psalms 119:50, Psalms 119:93, Romans 2 and 7. He's given us this life through his word. Jesus was the word, and now he gives us this blueprint of how to live the life that he has for us. Matter of fact, show that Romans 2 and 7. Romans 2 and 7 says this. It says, he will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. See, it's not just about one-time deal. Yes, we enter into salvation through Jesus Christ, but we don't just leave it here on Christmas. See, I think sometimes we compare our Christian walk with Christmas, and we say, okay, Christmas is once a month, we'll just do it once a month. And then Christmas, my Christian walk, one-time event, then I'll do it. But he says, no, pursue after these things. Pursue after the things of God. Live the life that God has for you. Understand his word. Read his word. Hide your word. Remember we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. How do we defeat a lie? With the truth. Hide God's word in your heart. So don't be misled and think that the gift of our Father was given to us one to be earned. No, by no means. It is about understanding his purpose. He wrote us a life manual, and he shows us how to live in this world with this life. So it's more than just accepting this life that God has for us. It's how do we live this life? You live this life by understanding his word. Every one of you have the same spirit. Every one of you, you know something? This is a totally off base. You don't need me up here. I shouldn't be up here telling our church we need to celebrate Christmas and remember Jesus Christ. But do you know something? Every church in America is saying the same message. Why? Because we're missing something. We're missing out. We won't take time to read his word and find how he loves us and how he has a plan and a purpose for us. And so how can we take that and give it to someone else when we're dry inside our own life? God comes down in the form of human, flesh and blood, lays his life down as the Son of God to change our lives, to help us be the men and women that he created us to be. And then he not only stops there, he creates a manual and gives it to us and said, now you get to live this life now. Ephesians 5 and 2 says, live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. No matter who you are or what you've done, our daddy loves you. He has a plan for each of us, but it requires transparency. It requires you letting down your guard and following or allowing the Father to come into your life and speak into your heart. And finally, John 3, 15 and 16. This is a powerful, but many of y'all know this passage of scripture, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the most popular scripture that we hear all throughout the season. But you know something else, even more than that? Let me get that real quick. I'm sorry, Misty. God gave us this. Everything that I teach, everything that I preach is right here. The story of Christmas is right here at our fingertips. The life that God has for you to live is right here in our fingertips. You can open it up and read it and discover this life. And I hate to be ugly, because we're talking about Christmas. Why have we become so lazy as Christians, where we rely on a preacher to tell us the story of an amazing Savior, an amazing event that took place thousands of years ago, so that you and I can discover the life we were created to live, this life in Jesus Christ? There's an unwrapped gift that you carry around. For some of you, this is it. You have it in your hands. You'll sit there. Some people, man, listen to me this morning, church. I'm going somewhere. I hope you'll amen me, praise God. You'll amen me. I don't know. But listen to me this morning. You'll sit there in your chairs or in whatever and on TV or whatever, and you criticize preachers and pastors and teachers, and you think you have the answer, but you haven't opened this up in years. You don't know what it says. And yet you'll sit there and criticize pastors who are trying to teach you truth. This Christmas, let's make it different. Let's unwrap the gift. There's a town out here that we live in Terrell, Texas, where the divorce rate is over 50%, that over 74% of the women that live in Terrell, listen to me, 74% of the ladies that live in Terrell are single moms. They're hurting out there in this world. And we celebrate Christmas and this amazing life that we've been given, and we won't share it. We won't open up our Bibles. We say things like, when you hear words like revival, it scares us. Or a movement, it scares us. Or when you hear things like my daddy, you don't understand it because you have not that relationship with the Father. You view God as a God that's out to get you and not a daddy who wants relationship with you. Do you realize there's a hurting world out there that desires that relationship? Your family, your friends, your coworkers, they're dying out there. They're dying. And this Christmas, my whole point of this entire message isn't to bring condemnation or guilt. It's to inspire us to look at Christmas from a completely different life. I know some of you we've gone to. Robin and I went to, was it last weekend? A couple weekends ago, we went to Gateway Church and celebrated their really big musical. And it was awesome, and it gave me the little goosebumps in it. But you know something? Did anybody's life get changed? I don't know. Mine didn't. We've got to take it to the world, take it to the streets. I believe this about Epic Life. There's so many empty chairs in this place. We need to fill them up. Invite someone. Give them the gas money to get here. Buy their breakfast. Tell someone they need to be here to experience this life that God has for them. It's free. It's free for me. Was it free for you, Jennifer? It was free for us. God desires relationship with people, and because of sin, this ugly garbage, we've let it creep into the church, and we've become so laid back and so relaxed, and we don't understand, you know, why ain't our church growing? Why aren't we doing this? Because we speak the truth sometimes. Sometimes it's just because we won't go out there and share what God's done in our life and in our walk. I look around our church, and I see the amazing stories that are in his place. Amazing stories. Marriage is being brought back. Healing from cancer. Amongst us, there are amazing things sitting right next to you. Amazing story of God's grace and God's goodness and the life that he gave to you. Look around the table. Some of you, marriages are only together because of the grace of God. A transformation happened. A nativity happened. And you discovered a life that was better than your own, that you couldn't trade. No one would want the garbage that you had. But Jesus did. He took the trade. He said, man, you don't know this, but I'm getting the better deal. God wants to do amazing things in our church and in our community. And I know some of this, man, is heavy for you guys. Some of this is like, man, you're reaching out there, Mike. You're getting way out there. But you know something? I don't care. Sometimes we need to look at Christmas from a different aspect. So this Christmas, share the life that you have. Share your life with someone maybe you don't know, a stranger. Maybe go to Walmart, man, and pray for someone or feed them. But make a commitment this year. As we get ready to end one year and move into the next, don't just do it in December. Don't just do it in December. Live the life that God's called you to live every day. Stop pretending. Start living the life that Jesus gave his life up for you.